Thank you, Lord. Let's open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And, okay, it's quarter after 11 now. I'll get you out of here in time. What's on time? I don't know. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Title of the message today is No Shortcuts. No Shortcuts. You ever taken a shortcut thinking it's going to be, this is going to save you time? I've seen people do it. You pull up to a light and there's a store here on the corner and they'll drive into the parking lot and race through the parking lot, risking hitting somebody coming out between cars or whatever, you know, which is stupid. Also, they can get around and get past and not have to wait at the light. Now, I could see if it's a life or death situation that you needed to do that, but some people, it's just because they're impatient. Shortcuts can seem to be something that are good. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The shortcut I'm talking about today is not a good shortcut. And we'll go into it in just a little bit. The series is Powers of the World to Come. This is number 9 in the series. And how many of y'all know that in exercising your faith and walking in faith, there are no shortcuts? Can I hear an amen? I'll explain that as we go. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's look at verse number 3. We're going to read verses 3 through 5 as our foundation this morning. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but look at this, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, remember, Paul was an eloquent speaker. We've talked about this before. He was highly educated. Paul was not an ignorant man. But the interesting thing about it was he would not let and basically rest on his laurels or rest on those accolades of education and his ability to get up and speak to a crowd. He was not leaning on that. He didn't want the people to have their faith in what he said or his wisdom, or his education. In this city, there is such a high priority placed upon education. And I'm not going to downplay education because we have some highly educated people in the church, which is fine as long as in that education, you still know how to hear the voice of God. That is ultimately the most important thing in your life regardless. Some have said, well, you don't need any education. Well, then that's not true either. Education is fine. Stick at it. Earn your degree. Get your advanced degree if that's what you're doing. Go for it. Be dedicated. Watch the Lord. He will bless that. But education, I mind you, is not the cure-all for everything. Can I hear an amen? There are educated people, highly educated people with advanced degree on top of degree who are not even saved, who don't know Jesus. And one day they'll stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and say, yeah, but I have all these degrees. And he'll say, sorry, depart from me. I never knew you. So all that education, remember what one of the Caesars told Paul? All this education has made you mad. Remember that? In the book of Acts, when he's standing before, who was it, Agrippa maybe? I forget. But Paul was highly educated. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of education as long as you cultivate hearing the voice of the Lord. There's not a corner on ignorance that in order to serve God, you have to be ignorant. Paul is proof of that. Amen? So on the other side of the coin, you had the disciples, the original 12. Peter was a businessman. When they excavated Peter's house there at the Sea of Galilee, they found he had a 6-bedroom house. How many of y'all know a 6-bedroom house? Well, it was a 6-room house. Okay. How many of y'all know that a 6-room house today, I mean, you might say, well, that's pretty common, is it not? You know, three bedrooms, four bedrooms of, you know, whatever, your kitchen, your living, your formal dining, your dinette, whatever else. You might have more rooms than that. But in that day, six rooms, that was a pretty nice place. Peter was not some guy who barely had enough money to rub two coins together. No. He was a businessman. He was a fisherman, and he did well. However, he didn't have a string of degrees. He didn't have all the formal training that Paul ended up having. Paul studied under Gamaliel. Remember that? Highly trained, highly skilled, an eloquent speaker, as I said. Peter, on the other hand, James and John, no, they were boinerges, was the word used for them. Sons of thunder. Those boys wanted to start a rumble everywhere they went. And it's interesting, you know what a rumble is, right? It's interesting, John became the apostle of love. Yeah. So God can do works in people. But they were these uneducated fishermen who it was obvious they had been with Jesus. You remember? These were these uneducated. What's going on? They're saying things that they're confounding these rulers, these highly educated ones in the law. And these guys are saying things that are messing them up. You have to go a ways to say something so simple that a person who has zero education can understand what you're saying, and the man with all these advanced degrees is going, what is he talking about? And Jesus did that on numerous occasions. Why? Because they were trying to figure it out with their brain and the others were just receiving it in their spirit. But as I said, education is fine. Paul was highly educated. Okay? I would suggest that you work hard at whatever you put your hand to, work hard and get it done. Amen? If you're working on a degree, get it done. If you feel the need to go back and get a degree, go and get it done. Talk is cheap. Yeah. But you can finish up and get through it and all that and praise God and the Lord will use it. Thank you, Jesus. But here was Paul. Paul was saying, I don't want my education to be the thing that you're impressed with. I want it to be that your faith is in the power of God. It can't just be my enticing words, my eloquence of speech. It cannot be that. It must be a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power in your midst so that your faith's not in me. Amen. Now, a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's a great thing, amen? To see a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. Now, the Bible warns us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I believe it's verse number 5, that in the latter times there will be those that will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Have you read it? You've seen that. And there are people today that like, they're okay with just words. You know, just words. Just discuss doctrine and creeds and have discussions. But the minute there's a little bit of a demonstration, it messes them up. Something as simple and really legitimate, because it is a legitimate thing, something as simple as speaking in tongues will scare some church people silly. Whoa, what was that? You ever been there? I've seen people, I've seen folks get scared thinking that person must be demon possessed. How many of y'all know? How many of y'all, when you were out in the bars, not living for the Lord, were you in there raising your hands and speaking in other tongues? Well, your language may have been slurred and to somebody sounded like tongues, but trust me, it wasn't speaking in tongues. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I didn't speak in tongues when I was a sinner. I didn't speak in tongues until I got filled with the Holy Spirit. My life turned around. The power of God entered my life. I got filled with the Spirit, began to speak in other tongues. And now it's just part of me that experience, I walk in that every day. But that'll scare some people. Man, I've seen preachers. We were in a pastor's meeting. Gathered about 15 or 20 pastors at the time. There was a group of pastors in the city meeting, some spirit-filled, some not. And I knew this one brother who was a pastor of a denominational church, and boy, he was a watchdog. He was going to be watching to see if anybody was speaking in tongues. So you know me being my pleasant self. I don't want to stir any trouble up, but who am I going to obey, God or this guy? He wasn't even in charge of the meeting. I was as in charge of the meeting as he was. So we all gathered together and we're catching hands and praying. And the brother next to me is from a church that's spirit-filled, and I can hear him quietly speaking in tongues. And Pastor John's over on this side, and we're both just praying carefully, not too loud. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to scare them, you know, freak them all out. But the bottom line was over half of the people in that place were filled with the Holy Spirit, these ministers. But there were three or four of us who were bold enough to pray some in the Spirit. Now, you don't want to do it just to scare people. Watch this. But I, during the time we're praying, and I opened up my eyes, and this man is staring at us. I thought, closed my eyes, kept praying. Whatever. You know, scared. It scares some people. They're afraid. Jesus said, don't look, if one of you asks a parent, you ask for a fish, is he gonna give you a scorpion or a rock or whatever? You remember the parable? How much more if you ask for the Holy Spirit will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask? When you asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you didn't get a demon, brother. That's not the devil. Why does that freak some people out? I don't know, because there's been some abuses, I'll give you that. There's been some people who are pretty ignorant on how to function in it and go into the store and talk to the clerk at Walmart in tongues. Kosho kolabakoto koso kolabadea. And they're going, what the heck is that? You know. Yeah. Well, that was out of order. But if they can't handle that little manifestation, what would they do if something more powerful occurred? There's a lot of them talk big. Well, we want to see a miracle. Well, wait a minute. God's not just going to do things apart from faith. You hear me? He's not going to just manifest His power so that everybody will believe and nobody has to have any faith. That's not going to happen. It takes faith to please God. And a manifestation, a demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power, hey, that ought to be as normal to the church. But a lot of folks have their faith in the person's words and the words only. And that's not a good thing. A lot of these people out there today, and brothers and sisters in Christ, they just flat don't believe in the power of God. They think all that passed away with the apostles. The death of the last apostle, all those gifts, all those manifestations ceased. And that's not for today. Wow. That is the most basic misunderstanding of a covenant that you can have. The covenant was sealed and ratified in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and the gifts that He gave to the early church are still there for the later church. Amen? It's amazing how the gift of salvation is certainly always good, because nobody wants to go to hell. But manifestations of the Spirit of God, are you kidding me? Ooh, that's kind of weird. That's kind of like the Twilight Zone, you know? Some of you don't know what the Twilight Zone is. But see, what Paul said, he didn't want people to have faith in his wisdom. But if you'll notice in 1 Corinthians 3, just jump to the next chapter, there were those saying in verse 4, one said, I'm of Paul. One says, I'm of Apollos. Paul said, are you not carnal? Who's Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? They were having faith in Apollos and Paul. Called him Mercury. You remember that? Thought they were gods in the flesh that came down to speak to them. And Paul said, we're just people. We're just men. And he said, that's why he addressed it, because he didn't want people having faith in his words. They need to have faith in the power of God, not in some eloquent speech that he was giving. Amen. Say this with me. My faith is in God and in his power. So you have to have faith in what the Lord has said. Faith in his word. Amen. It's not in what a man or a woman has taught me. You should not have faith in what I have taught you. You should always go back to the word and find it in the word. If you can't find it in the word, do not believe it. Pastors that do not preach out of the word of God, I wouldn't give them the time of day. I was bringing up a newspaper article or preaching about the movies, and come on, man. You got a book filled with revelation knowledge. This is the blueprint for life. And you're doing a rundown on the latest movie and how that relates to us. Who cares? You ought not to be going to that movie in the first place. Using the name of Jesus Christ like as you use an expletive. That kind of stuff. Give me a break. Preach the word of God. Preach from the Bible. Amen. Boy, that's better preaching than you're saying amen. But it's the truth. You know, here's another thing I don't do. I don't put all my eggs in one basket in regard to somebody's book. Be careful here, too. Yeah, but so-and-so wrote this. I'm not going to put my trust in him. I've listened to some of the best word of faith preaching and teaching and expository teaching from original language translations and men and women that can dissect the word of God and preach it with an anointing, but I don't put my faith in those people because I know they put their pants on one leg at a time just like I do. They're just people. I have to go back to the word and make sure it's so from the word. So my faith is in God, not that person. Why? People get their faith in a person, and then they find out that guy's running around on his wife. They find out that guy's stealing. They find out that woman's doing this, doing that, and suddenly their faith is really being tested, and they're going, I thought they were real. Well, hey, Dumbo, you put your faith in a person. They're just people. Put your faith in God. He doesn't change. I'll never forget the time I had talked about a video that was out, and it was a well-known Christian, contemporary Christian music artist, and he did a video. And it showed the devil sitting on his throne and the flames behind him and the devil in his throne and the demons coming up before him and getting their orders from him. And I made this statement. I said, that video that shows that, and it was real popular at the time, everybody knew about it, I said, is not scriptural. Because how many of y'all know the devil's not in hell? It's not a place where he's going to sit there with his asbestos suit on and enjoy it, you know. And just everything's cool. It's not going to be cool there. First off, the Bible indicates that hell is going to be totally and is pitch black. You can't see your hand in front of your face. And it's not a place where all the party girls are going to go. Everyone's going to be naked and all that. Some people, the dumbest stuff people come up. It is a place of eternal torment for anybody who ends up there, including the devil. And he's not there yet. He's called the God of this world. He's messing with people here, trying to keep them from Jesus, trying to keep them laying in bed on a Sunday, trying to keep them away from reading their Bibles and not fellowshipping with God. That's what he's about doing. So this couple got offended at me for saying that. Well, he's so-and-so. I said, I didn't say that to offend you. I've listened to his music probably longer than you have. I said, and I enjoy his music. I'm just telling you that video was not scriptural. to think the devil's in hell is not right. Well, they left the church over that. Can you feel my frustration? When stuff like that goes on, the dumbest stuff people have said, adios, over something like that. In fact, people get mad about the dumbest things. What do you want me to tell people? Yeah, the devil's in hell. That contradicts the Bible. Remember this thing? Don't put your faith in a person. Don't think everything they do and say is absolutely perfect because they're just people. Amen. The only one that walked the face of this earth that was perfect in everything he did, everything he thought, everything that he ever spoke was Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh. And everybody from Paul to Billy Graham to Kenneth Copeland to you to me have their faults. Some are in heaven now, of course. But I'm telling you, don't put your faith in people. Keep it in the Lord. Now, we were talking about drawing close to the Lord last week, about touching him and having a right heart. How many of y'all know we need to draw closer to the source? Amen? We need to draw closer to the source of the power, not the messenger, but the source of the power, and that is God himself. James 4, verse number 8, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Remember the Amplified Version says, get closer to him, get close to him, he'll get close to you. Bible says he's as close as the mention of his name. Now, if you really want to grow in the things of God, this kind of message ought to thrill you because you can draw nigh to him. You know, Moses got close to the Lord, did he not? Come on, y'all with me? You're half asleep. In Exodus 34, verse 29, yeah, boy, he came down off the mountain. They look at his face like, whoa, you can tell he had been with God. It's reiterated in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, where it talked about the veil that they went ahead and put over his face. Moses' face shone. I was looking in the Word in Acts chapter 6, verse number 15. Stephen's face was that of an angel. They were all staring at him. That was right before he got up and gave his discourse. Ended up dying after that. Stoned him to death over that deal. Terrible thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6 says that the face of Jesus Christ has glory that comes forth from it. And I started to think on that last night. I did a real quick search in the Word and study. And Revelation 21, write these down because you need to run a comparison here. Compare Revelation 21, verse 23 and Revelation 22, verse 5 with 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 6. Revelation 21, 23, and 22, 5. Compare that with 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. The Bible says in Revelation 21, 23 that the Lamb is the light in heaven. Huh? That's pretty cool. You say, where'd you ever get that the face of Jesus Christ lights up heaven? Look at those two verses, those three I just gave you. The glory shines out of his face. The Lamb is the light in heaven. Is that outstanding or what? You know, when you get before the Lord and you spend some time in the presence of God, people just may very well be able to tell that there's something different about you. Don't do it with that purpose in mind. I'm going to spend time before the Lord so people stare at me when I go downtown. That's a wrong reason, and God will not honor that. Amen. Just get before the Lord and spend some time with him. Amen. But you can draw close to him. You can touch the Lord, believe it or not. Well, if you don't believe it, it isn't going to happen. In the spirit, remember, there's no distance, and we did talk about that. And by faith, you can come in contact with the Lord. You need to live like that. Come boldly to the throne of grace, Hebrews 4, verse 16. That you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You can come to the throne of grace. Somebody said, well, am I doing that in my mind? No, it's in the spirit. And literally, there's no distance in the spirit. So when you are, you know, meditating on the things of God, you are literally in the spirit approaching the throne of God. That is wonderful news for us because that's where your needs are met. Some people, their head just went, I don't know about that. I don't understand that. When you walk in the Spirit, the Scripture says you're not going to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Remember that in the book of Romans chapter 8? Do you realize that you can walk in the Spirit and be highly sensitive to the things that the Lord is saying? It's called being led of the Holy Spirit. Some people have really downplayed this message and substituted being led by the Spirit with being led by their brain. Ooh, that'll get you in trouble. You got a brain, I know that. But you don't need to be being led by your brain. What is the force that works in your brain? That of reason, amen? The force of revelation works in your spirit. We need to walk by a revelation. Go over to John 2. So I'm going to tie this all up for you and give you a few things that you really need to grab a hold of in the next 15 minutes. Okay? John 2. This is the first miracle that Jesus did. Scripture said in verse 11 that it was the beginning of miracles that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. This is the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee. Jesus shows up for a wedding, and remember, they ran out of wine. Now, listen to me. If you purpose in your heart to, every time you read this, make an argument for why you ought to be able to drink wine, you're missing the point, and the enemy's twisting what actually happened here. Do you really think Jesus would provide something that people could get inebriated with? That contradicts the Word of God. Yeah, but in small portions. Let me ask you this. If that line of reasoning holds, then you ought to be able to have come close to the fire of sex without getting burned. So, you remember this famous statement back in the 90s, I did not have sex with that woman. How many of y'all remember that? Our president. President Bill Clinton. I did not have sex with that woman. Really? His definition of sex, coitus in the truest sense, no, he didn't. But he did have sexual relations with that young woman. So he stood, and then later on ended up admitting it anyway. And I think, you know, well, people try to make excuses. Well, if a little bit of an alcoholic beverage is okay for you, then a little petting and not having intercourse is okay too. A little bit of cocaine up the nose. Just not a whole line, you know. Just a little. Nah. Just a little. Just a little cheating on my wife. Just a little of this. Just a little alcohol. Just, if you're looking for an excuse to do it, you're going to find it. Okay? But it's time. Trust what the Word of God has to say. Jesus was not for drinking alcohol. Okay? That has been misunderstood and misread. I used to drink a lot of alcohol before I was saved. Dumbest thing I ever did. Dumbest thing I ever did. Well, there are probably a few other really dumb things I did, but that was right there at the top of the list. Doesn't make you a man. Doesn't do anything for you other than hurt your liver. Mess with your head. Ultimately mess with your stomach. You're on your knees when you ought to be on your knees praying. You're on your knees in front of the porcelain bowl instead. And not a good thing. Not a good thing. It's a much better way. You want to relax. You want to have peace. You don't find it in a bottle, for crying out loud. You spend time before the Lord. He's going to give the peace. How many of y'all know that? He'll give the peace. Yeah, but I like the taste of that. There, you can drink stuff that's not alcoholic that messes with you. I've talked to people whose livers were destroyed because of drinking. And they're like, you know, cirrhosis of the liver. They drank so much. brain cells are burned out, and they go, man, if I could do it all over again. Yeah? So as a believer, get control over that thing. Yeah, does drinking send you to hell? No. Does smoking send you to hell? No. But there are things that will mess and hurt your physical body and open the door to sickness and disease that you shouldn't have to deal with. Can I hear an amen? It's true anyway, whether you say it or not. But in John 2, this was a miracle. Now, if you believe the Bible, you're going to believe that there are things in this word that you cannot explain. There are things in this word you cannot explain. If you believe the Bible, you believe in things you cannot explain. Is that true? If you don't believe that this was actually a miracle, you probably don't believe Jesus was born of a virgin. You probably don't believe that when he created the earth that we live on, when he created man, that he did it by speaking. You probably have tried to explain that away too. This is a real problem for people who are proud and have some intelligence. They always try to explain everything. And there are just some things that you can't explain. They poured some water in these pots, and when they dipped in, it was grape juice. How did that happen? It was a miracle. Can I hear an amen? But I'm telling you, you try to explain away. You got natural man trying to explain a miracle. That'll never work. They can't. You've seen some of the shows how, you know, I remember watching one time, you know, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in that fiery furnace, you know. Really didn't happen. They were showing this on the Geographic Channel or National Geographic, whatever it was. I don't know why I bother, because it just ticks me off. These fools. They're trying to tell me that the Bible's wrong, the Bible's a lie. I sat there and watched a little bit of it, and I'm like, here we got unbelievers who don't believe. What are they going to say? They don't believe in Jesus Christ. They don't believe that part of the word. You think they're going to believe this? The one about the Red Sea, you know, I mean, it was an earthquake and it caused the water to run in that big crack over here, and that's how it all happened. And then the Bible said, and you know, it was only ankle deep, don't you know? They wouldn't have trouble crossing over in ankle deep water. Pharaoh and his army drown in ankle deep water because they all drowned in ankle deep water then. Unbelieving natural people trying to explain the miracle working power of God, can't do it. Can't do it. Shouldn't even bother trying. So in this miracle that occurred here, I don't see that there was any thunder or lightning or drum roll when the miracle occurred. The fact of the matter is, most of them didn't even know it happened. And that's the way a lot of miracles happen. People don't even know that they happen when they happen. People are always trying to look for spectacular things. Boom! Ah, I'm healed! I suppose with movies and effects and things that they've done in some of these Christian movies, you know, it's that way, but not in the Word of God. How many of y'all have ever had a miracle in your body? You know, just recently I had this lump that was on my wrist disappear. And it's like the skin is still loose around there where it was. I'll tell you, I wrote this sermon, and I did yard work yesterday, and I washed the car. No, I didn't get to play tennis. And I was able to write the sermon and everything I needed to do without any pain. That lump is gone. I tell you, but now here's the interesting thing, and I've mentioned this a few different times, but I'm going to tell you, I don't remember when it happened. I don't know when it happened. Many times miracles occur. I have, for the last 4 or 5, I'll bet it's 5 years, yeah, struggled with that. Hurting. I mean, there were times you'd see me do this. I was doing that because the pain was intense. like this. And I can say, I don't have any pain. But I don't know when it happened. All I can remember is the Lord telling me, because Ann and I were going to go out and hit the ball, and tennis, and I had been wearing this wrist brace that hooks over my thumb, and you wrap it real tight. It's a Nike brace for tennis. And I'd wrap that, and it would restrict the movement some. And the Lord said, told me, just put a wristband on for sweat. And I've got these big wristbands that are about this long. And they run up to here. And that's the last thing I remember, because when I did it the first time, it was still there. I saw it. It stood about that high off of my wrist. And I just thought, well, okay. I'll do that. I'll put that on. And it was right after that that I realized I don't have it there anymore. So many times miracles occur unbeknownst to you. I put my faith out on that thing 5 years ago. Yeah, amen. But here's something I want to bring up. This is the problem that a lot of people experience, and we're going to wrap this up right here. They try to take shortcuts where their faith is concerned. Let me quickly just backtrack you to the last series that we did on healing. I told you there were three steps to every miracle. The way that this miracle happened and the way miracles will happen. Now it's the same way. The first thing that you have to do, number one, do you remember? Is hear from God. You remember this? You have to, number one, hear from the Lord. Number two, you have to do what he says. And number three, he's the one who does the miracle. The reason I brought that up to you to not wear that brace is because I believe that's what the Lord told me to do. When I put it on, I didn't really think much about it. But it was right after I stopped wearing the brace that the miracle occurred. Hear from him. Do what he tells you to do. He does the work. These servants, did they perform this miracle? What did they do? They heard what Jesus said to do. They filled the water pots and they dipped in the water pots, and there was wine in those water pots. Not everybody there knew about it. The governor of the feast didn't even know about it. Whatever he says or tells you to do, Jesus' mama told them in verse 5, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So, faith comes by hearing, right? Hearing what? Hearing the word. You have to hear from God, don't you, in order to have faith. I believe I heard from God that day when I put that wristband on instead of that brace I had been wearing. I don't think that's coincidental. Did that. And to me, when I did it, I thought about it at the moment because I thought, gee, that might hurt. Okay? So faith comes by hearing, but guess what? Faith also has to be released or acted upon. There is going to be an act of faith, but not just any act of faith that you are going to have to step out in. It needs to be exactly the act that he told you to do. With me, it was put on that wristband. This is called a rhema or a spoken word from God. You have the logos. This is the logos, L-O-G-O-S. You would say logos. Logos is the way to say it. The written word. The spoken word is called rhema. Every one of us need to hear the voice of the Lord. And here's where people try to shortcut it. This is why a lot of folks end up with failures, and they've called them faith failures, but there's really no such thing as a faith failure, because if you're walking in faith, it'll work. These are unbelief failures. But what happens is people are attempting to use a faith formula or a faith principle, quote scripture, and basically try to get God to do it the way they want them to do it. Believe they receive, claim it, and all of that. But they want him to work it out according to their plan. Guess what? You cannot tell God how he's going to do what he wants to do in you. That's why you need to get before him and listen. That's why you need to draw nigh unto him. That's why you need to get close to him. Why in the world would the Lord, who is perfect, cast aside his methodology of bringing a miracle into your life and do it the way you want it done? You ever think about that? Well, God's able to do this. I have scripture I'm going to stand on and speak. I'm going to claim it. And I'm going to believe it. And God's going to have to do it. What if these servants have been sitting around and they go, you know, we're out of wine. Come on, let's have a prayer of agreement. Let's pray and agree that the Lord will send these party supplies to us. We claim it by faith. You remember in the book of 1 Kings chapter 17 when the widows, the cruse of oil and the barrel of meal were multiplied and they kept on providing and it never dried up. You remember that? Well, let's stand on 1 Kings 17. Let's believe. God, you could send somebody in here with the rest of these party supplies to take care of this need. You have plenty. That guy down the road we know has a whole cellar full of this of wine. He could bring it. Use them. In the name of Jesus. What would have happened? That's the answer. Nothing. People are trying to do this stuff all the time. All the time. That's a shortcut. Write this down. This is a big reason for failures that people have when they're, quote, believing God. Faith principles are used through reasoning, not revelation. Get that? Faith principles, they're trying to use faith principles through reasoning and not revelation. It'll never work. They're separating principles from a close fellowship with the Father, wanting to shortcut and get the answer now. And then let me get back to what I like to do. We live in a very fast society. Everything's fast. You want to heat up some water for a cup of coffee? 45 seconds, bam, boil in. We have a very powerful microwave. You put it in there longer than that, you're going to, yeah. Oh, I have a big cup. I made some hot chocolate during the wintertime, I remember, and I did it for like 2 minutes. I couldn't touch the cup. I look in there, it's bubbling. I'm like, ooh, it's probably a little too warm, you know? Or you put a hot dog in there because you're cooking for yourself, you know? And the hot dog blows up, you know? You know, brother, huh? Yeah. Everything is fast. People try to shortcut spending time in the presence of God by substituting faith principles that they've heard. They've heard teaching on it. They've heard a teaching about standing, confessing the word. I believe in confessing the word. Mama just gave us a CD the other night about confessing the word. And it's a very good CD by Charles Capps. Very good. You need to be speaking the word. But you need to get God's mind on what word? You don't just reach out there and grab a faith principle and try to force God's hand into doing something for you. Yes, he wants to heal your body. Yes, he wants to provide for you. But he has a method and a means, and you can't use reasoning to get it. There has to be a revelation, and that revelation comes by getting close to the Lord. Draw nigh to him. Spend some quality time in his presence. Get along with him. Yesterday, while I was out mowing, I had my earbuds in, and I listened to the word for, I was mowed about 4 hours. And I listened to the word over and over and over and over and over again. We need revelation knowledge built in us. Can I hear an amen? I'm going to believe this happens this way. Now, I've got some scripture. I'm going to confess those scriptures. I'm going to claim it in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to sow some seeds toward that end. Well, let me ask you a question. Did God tell you to sow those seeds? Did God direct you in those scriptures? Or are you grabbing out of the grab bag and say, I'm going to do this and God's going to have to do this? I believe in confessing the word. You know that. I believe in speaking the word. I believe in standing on your covenant rights. Absolutely, 100%. But the problem has been we don't listen for the voice of God. He has a particular way to do it. He will give you a verse of scripture to stand on. Yes, there are a lot of them. We have a whole book of them. But people always want to take the shortcut. What does shortcut mean? Shortcut is a means of saving time or effort. You might as well just write laziness right next to it. You want to be lazy Christians. Anybody in here want to be lazy? Be honest. Yeah, we like to be lazy, don't we? Oh, man. Is there an easier way? You know? Our neighbor has one of these robots that mows the yard. I mean, it'll work, and it is working, and it's keeping their yard mowed, but they only mow a section. You know, we have a big area, and I've got a big machine, and I like it. Is there an easier way? Yeah, I know an even easier way. Spend $25,000 and have that artificial turf put in your whole yard. You ever price that stuff? Ooh, man. Get some fake trees, never have to water them. I thought about that. I thought about getting some fake bushes. They were $450 a piece for these little bushes to put in front of my house. I was looking at 4 and 9. There's 1,800. There's 27. I got about, my goodness, $6,000 in little bushes that I can buy for under $200 over here. So I didn't do that. But the grass, it looks real. It looks real. And it'll last you a good 20 years. It'll cost you about $1,000 a year to have it. And I was like, shortcuts. Quit trying to take shortcuts. Stand to your feet. God's way is right and perfect. You don't tell God what to do. You want a miracle? You want to believe God for a miracle? Get his voice on it. Find out what he wants you to do. I'm telling you, and I didn't even tell Ann this, but when this happened, I know in my spirit, last night the Lord revealed that to me. And it was like when he told me to put that band on and stop wearing that thing, which was alleviating the pain. And I remember when I did it, I just did it. I just slipped it on, put it on, and didn't use the brace. And it was right after that that I noticed it was gone. A day or two later or whatever it was. Say what you want. I'm not hurting. Amen anyway. Lord wants to do what he wants to do for you. Get his voice. Quit trying to have the shortcut. Yeah, I'm going to get before the Lord and talk to him. Oh, Father, Father, Father. Yeah, you want me to do this? Yeah. Okay, I got it. No. No, you need to get past the flesh before you ever get into the spirit. You spend some quality time before him. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Father, we thank you and praise you for the word today. We thank you and give you glory for this time together. We thank you that we will not be people that are always trying to take the easy way out, the shortcut, but we'll actually spend time before your face. And you, in fact, will make your face to shine upon us. Manifest your glory in our presence, in us and through us and upon us. And thank you for it. Give you glory for that this day. In Jesus' name. Come on. Can you say amen? Go on the word.